Good evening, good evening. Come on in. We are ready for Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ Bible Study. And we're waiting for YOU. Amen. To come on in.
Well, we praise God for each of you as you are joining. And this, of course, is indeed the day the Lord has made. And we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank God for sustaining us and keeping us through everything that we've experienced up until this moment, and for even watching over us last night. And then we thank him for including us in his plan for this day. And so we're grateful. Y'all let us know that sound is good and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this study tonight. We're in the book of Proverbs, and we have a tall order before us tonight. We're going to try to cover the remaining chapters from where we left off on last week, Lady Kim, and we're going to go through the 11th chapter, and then we'll close out at the 31st chapter. You think we'll be able to get through all of that tonight?
I hope so.
Okay, but here's what we're going to do. We're not going to go through each chapter verse by verse. We're going to lift up some key verses in those chapters and just highlight a few things and maybe talk about some of the characteristics about what that chapter entails, and then we're going to move on. And so we won't spend very much time in either of those chapters, but we hope that you will read those chapters at your leisure, because I'll tell you, Proverbs is a book where you just need to settle in and settle down and just take your time and read through, because this book really gives us some powerful principles as it relates to wisdom. And so we praise God for this study, and I believe that it's going to really turn the light on for a lot of people and get clarity in terms of some of the things that they've been trying to process for a while. And if we follow instructions, and you're going to hear that tonight, if we but follow these instructions, we heed to God's voice and be obedient to his word and ask for wisdom, then some powerful things will happen. But when we ask for wisdom, we also need to get understanding. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
So let's go ahead and get started tonight. Let us know the sound is good and that you can you're getting a good signal tonight as we prepare for this time together. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We pray now, dear Lord, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.
Yes.
You are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. We pray that every need will be met tonight, that doors will be opened, lives will be changed, that your anointing will fall, and that yokes will be destroyed. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to start with our regular just review of what happened in our worship experience on yesterday. Lady Kim is Gadget. She's doing a lot of work in here behind the scenes, but after Lady Kim gives us this review, she's trying to let everybody know, okay, and trying to just tell everybody you got the message. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay. And so after she gives a review, we're going to start in chapter 11, and then we're going to move through 11, 12, 13, 14, and so on until we get as far as we can. Hopefully we'll be able to get to the 31st chapter, which is the last chapter in Proverbs. But Lady Kim, what happened on yesterday? What did you receive, and what was going on in the worship experience on yesterday?
I don't know what happened yesterday.
I have no idea. That's why we have you giving us the update.
Oh, no, I'm just teasing. It was an awesome time on yesterday, and you continued the series on insecure,
mm-hmm.
Talking about our insecurities. And the title of your sermon was How to Handle Bad Company.
Okay.
And you came from 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, talking about how to handle bad company. And it's 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, just that one verse,
mm-hmm.
has a lot of meat to it.
That's right.
And it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And, you know, when I thought about that, I said, shoot, that could have been one of those words of wisdom from Proverbs.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That sounds something straight out of the book
of
Proverbs.
Absolutely.
But what your first point was that we need to stay clear of bad company. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to stay away from bad company. I know when I was growing up, you know, my mother used to say, "Don't you hang around with that girl," or "Don't you hang around with those kids." You know, she knew that they meant no good, or mm-hmm. she knew that they were the troublemakers in the neighborhood. So she wanted me to stay clear of them, because just associating with those people would give me a bad reputation.
Okay. Okay.
You don't have to do the crime to be
convicted
of that crime. Mm-hmm. You know, just being with the people that commit the crime can get you in a lot of trouble. So stay clear of bad company. Then your second point was stay clear of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of corrupt people in the world. And when you associate with bad company, they have corrupt ideas. They have a corrupt mentality. And so you have to stay clear of corruption.
Okay.
Were you going to say something?
No, I was thinking as you were talking about that first point of staying clear of bad company. John tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit by the spirit." And sometimes we have omitted that in terms of trying to blend in, or trying to get in a particular crowd or a circle of influence. And many times we don't try the spirits. And as a result of that, we'll find ourselves entangled with bad company. Mm-hmm. And once you're in that web, it's hard for you to get out if you don't particularly use this third point that you're about to lift up, because it automatically will push you and lead you to the corruption.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that third point was is stay close to Christ.
Okay.
That we need to stay close as we can to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we stay close to Christ, that means we are being fervent in prayer.
That's right.
That means we're staying in Bible study. That means we're meditating on the Word. That means we're reading our Bibles.
That's right.
That means we're studying the Word. There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's
we're
right.
doing Bible study right now, breaking down verse by verse, precept by precept. Not in this particular case on today, because we're going to jump around. But, you know, there's a difference between just reading the Word and studying the Word.
That's right.
So stay close to Christ.
That's right. I closed out as we were preparing to extend the invitation and just share it with people about prayers that I pray for the most part on the regular, not every day, but almost every day. Ask God to give me wisdom and insight. And then ask God to surround me with people that are going to push me and help elevate me and not pull me down or drag me down. Because the difference between good company and bad company, you know, I tried to bring that out yesterday. Good company will encourage you to press toward that mark. They will help you to identify your strengths and then encourage you to do your very best.
Mm-hmm.
Bad company always has a way of pulling you back, pulling you down, and they don't want you to get ahead of them, and so they want to keep you in and confine you to a particular area that's the same as them.
Mm-hmm.
Them. They are. And, you know, there's an old saying that birds of a feather flock together, and so we got to be clear about not getting caught in that web, because many times the people that we associate with is almost a mirror image of who we are.
Mm.
And so, but when God has placed calling on your life, gifting in your life, we have to make sure that we don't yield to our friends and our circle or our company, the company that we keep, but that we keep our ears open and our spirits alert in terms of what God is saying. And sometimes that will pull us away from those who don't really mean us any good.
Amen. That's mm-hmm. right. Amen.
And so we just wanted to bring that out. But that verse in another passage says, bad company corrupts good character and it ruins good morals. Mm. So we have to be mindful of that bad company. And usually when we find out about bad company is when things begin to fall apart or a situation arises that lets you know that the company that you have been surrounding yourself with really didn't mean you any good. Mm-hmm. Bad company will create a whole lot of things that will corrupt good character and also ruin your good morals.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for that review. And thank you for those of you who are yet on the call tonight. And we're certainly grateful for your participation and being a part of this Monday night study. We're in Proverbs, the 11th chapter tonight. And we're going to move from Proverbs 11 and keep going until we try to get as far as we can to the 31st chapter. We're about two lessons behind. We're probably about a week behind in our study. Wouldn't you agree, Lady
yes.
Kim?
Mm-hmm.
And so even if we don't finish all of this tonight, we'll pick it up on next week. But after we finish Proverbs, then we're going to move into the book of Ecclesiastes, where we are really kind of break that down and spend some time going through those particular verses and bringing out some clarity. But again, as I said earlier, do want to encourage you to go ahead and read ahead and that 31 verses here, I believe, in the 11th chapter of Proverbs. But this book really talks about the upright and the wicked, and it tells us a lot about deceit and dishonesty and pride are the steps that lead to self-destruction.
Mm.
And I think in verse number 7, do you have your Bible ready, Lady Kim?
Mm-hmm.
In that 7th verse, well, there are a couple of verses before we get to the 7th verse. Our outline talks about the 2nd verse, and it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is vision. So pride is caused, making reference here by the foolishness and the folly that brings people to destruction,
mm-hmm.
that's hated by men.
Mm-hmm.
But in that 7th verse, it's really a sad commentary because it describes something that I just want you to read it. And then it, I think it'll be self-explanatory after you have read that 7th verse.
Okay.
You want to read down to the 7th verse.
Well, what would you desire?
For dinner or for?
For me to read.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to make sure. Well, you can go ahead and read those first 7 verses, and then when you finish that, we'll go to the 30th verse, and then we'll move to the 12th chapter.
Okay. We're in Proverbs, the 11th chapter. I'm reading from the NIV version.
Okay.
Starting at verse 1, the Lord detests dishonest scales,
mm-hmm.
but accurate ways find favor with him.
Mm-hmm.
When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless make their path straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteous of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hope placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing.
Okay, and that 7th verse is really what I was focusing on, and that's really a sad commentary because it talks about how if you surround yourself with craftiness during your lifetime, then and you don't seek after the principles that of God, then when death comes, death ends your hope and being redeemed from your evil ways.
Mm.
And so it's important for us not to always go after the scheme, always go after what we think is a quick buck or a quick way to get some money. But if we follow the precepts and we take our time and go through the process that God has laid out, we'll find that there will be hope at the end. But that verse clearly indicates that there is no hope of being redeemed from their evil ways.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Death is a final thing.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Once you die, the Bible says then comes the judgment.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't go back and try to redo things once you die.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we place our hope and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. And so I think if you look, lift up verse number 30, then we can move to the 12th chapter. But 9 through 14 of that particular 11th chapter shows the contrast between righteousness and evil. Mm-hmm. And so this whole chapter really just kind of shines the spotlight on what we need to do in order to be in good standing with God.
Amen.
Okay.
All right, the 30th verse of the 11th chapter, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives.
Okay. And another translation says the one that winneth souls is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to let our light shine and for us to be examples for others to come in out of darkness into the marvelous light. We don't need to hide our light under a bushel, but we need to put it on a candlestick, or so that others might be able to find the way. And believe it or not, there are so many people who are yet lost and looking for that light that many times we don't illuminate or let shine mm-hmm. in our lives.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's a positive verse there. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who winneth souls
is wise.
All right, well, let's move on to the 12th chapter. Are there any comments or
no comments. No comments so far, just
okay.
Good evening.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Well, when we move into that 12th chapter, and that's just one verse there, this is really, this 12th chapter really emphasizes the good life. And one of the things that I found out, Lady Kim, as I was preparing for this, is that only a stupid person will refuse to learn lessons about life that brings peace and happiness. Mm-hmm. And so many times you have a lot of people out there who are reluctant to get into the Bible or place themselves in a position to move from what they have become accustomed to and learn and gain additional insight and wisdom. And the Bible calls that person a stupid person, because they refuse to learn lessons about life that bring peace and happiness.
Mm.
And so that's what we want in life.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah,
we want peace and joy and happiness.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible, when we study that word, really gives us. And we follow that word and obedient to the word. Were you about to say something?
No. I was just listening.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Absolutely right, though.
Okay. So let's lift up the 18th verse, and let's see what it says.
The 18th verse of the 12th chapter,
mm-hmm.
The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
Okay. So they call them reckless there, mm-hmm. a stupid person. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of
translation.
Another translation mm-hmm. in terms of that 12th chapter and the 18th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, you know, it's better that we humble ourselves and submit to the teachings and being obedient to what God requires of us, and not boast, if you will, about things that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we get caught up in trying to compare ourselves to others, and then we have this this streak of jealousy and envy, and we try to outdo other people.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with the Joneses is what they used to say in the day. But
I don't have to keep up with the Joneses.
You were a Jones.
I am a Jones.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know what I see in this passage also, that the person who like chatters on and on, or talks and talks and does not care about the feelings of others. Have you ever seen a person
mm-hmm.
like that
mm-hmm.
that just talks and talks? They
yeah.
won't let you get a word in edgewise, you know, and they have inconsiderate remarks. They say anything. That's what this particular verse is talking about. Mm-hmm. And then it says, however, the tongue of the wise is health or healing or soothing, and it soothes the wounds of the other person's inappropriate chatter.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we are the person who is whose tongue is speaking wisdom and healing and soothing others, instead of being the one that talks all the time and never has time to listen, and it's inconsiderate. Because, you know, the more you talk, the more you can get yourself in trouble.
That's right. And you can't bring that back. Once it's released, you can't bring it back. And sometimes people are looking for encouragement. They're looking for a positive word that's going to help push them to where they're trying to go. And sometimes people miss out on the opportunity because they have not sought God for wisdom. And they are speaking words that really are not edifying and lifting, but they're not encouraging the person. And as a result of that, they fall short of trying to accomplish the goal that the other person might have in mind.
Amen.
When they're talking all the time.
Yes.
You know somebody like that?
I do.
That talks all the time?
Absolutely.
And never gives you an opportunity to say anything?
Well, they don't talk all the time. They're quiet when they're asleep.
All right. That's deep. I'm not going to even try to stir that part right there. That's a whole lot
when
in that.
When they take a nap, they're quiet.
Okay, that couldn't be me because I don't take...
Oh, no,
don't
that's
take,
not you.
Okay, because I don't take
I'm
naps.
Not talking about you. Oh, you're
okay.
Getting offended.
No, I just said I'm not going to try to stir that part. I'm just making sure.
You seem a little touchy.
Yeah, no, I got kind of edgy right there when you said that when they are asleep.
Kind of defensive or
right?
Offended, huh?
Why you elbowed me? You pushed me. Why you pushed me? See?
You need to quit.
But no, you're right. Some people will.
No, I'm just teasing. Mm-hmm. My dad was like that. My biological father talked all the time.
He did.
Talked all the time.
He did. Mm-hmm. And when he, I'm not going to even go there, but it was a part of his personality.
Yes.
And he was almost what you might consider to be a know-it-all.
Yes.
And if he didn't, and then you would have to follow him because he'll take it to another level. And
yes.
You have to say, wait a minute. Now,
He would embellish things.
So,
yes.
Not trying to talk about your dad, but you know,
yes,
telling the truth.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Let's move on.
That's right. Let's stick and move.
Amen.
We're in chapter 13 of Proverbs. And when Kim's dad used to take a nap. Okay. All right.
We ain't going there.
All right.
We ain't talking about
Proverbs chapter 13, and we're moving on. Because in Proverbs 13, and it really talks about righteousness and riches. And God in the lips is like God in the soul.
Mm.
And you're going to see that come out of that 13th chapter, because it's really powerful, and it gives you insight in terms of the discipline, because we just finished talking about the importance of God in our tongues. But it talks about the lack of discipline is a sign of a lack of love.
Mm.
And so if we don't discipline ourselves in such a way that we make sure when we do speak, we need to speak in wisdom, and we need to allow that to be saturated in prayer, and particularly when we're making decisions or when we're trying to direct other people,
mm-hmm.
we don't just need to come off the cuff, but a lot of times the wisdom is already there,
mm-hmm.
but we need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom and direction so that we can speak clarity into somebody's situation and not just a whole lot of foolery.
Right, absolutely.
So let's lift up that first verse and let's see what it says in that 13th chapter of Proverbs.
It says, a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke.
Okay. So kind of break that out a little bit, Lady Kim, in terms of what they're trying to get us to see in that one verse.
Well, a wise son, when he listens to his father, he profits from listening to him, because, you know, he's more likely to obey. And when we listen to our parent, and this is, you know, a father talking to a son or a son listening to his father's advice, you know, he's agreeable with it, showing him to be spiritually wise,
uh-huh.
receiving instruction and wisdom, you know, just like we receive instruction and wisdom from the Word of God.
Okay.
You know, and with the structure that God has set up. You know, God first, then man, then woman, then children. When a child listens to his father's instructions, you know, it makes his way. When he listens and when he heeds his father's instructions, it makes his life easier. It makes his way plainer.
Okay.
You know, the scorner or the scornful man tries to make everything that is sacred not sacred,
mm-hmm.
not listening to the reproof
right.
of God's
right.
word, rebuking the gospel message and heeding and heading, towards destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the opposite side of the coin.
Okay, okay. That's good. And that's so relevant and prevalent even in our world today, because people have gotten to the point now where they don't want to heed instruction.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be obedient to things that produces righteousness. They'd much rather follow after the standard of the world. And the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but
be transformed
by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And as I say, oftentimes, Lady Kim, obedience is really what brings the reward. So it's not just hearing the word, but James says, don't just hear
doers.
That word, but you got to do that word.
Doers is
you got to be doers of the word, and that's where the obedience comes in.
Amen.
Okay. So that's the 13th chapter, and we're not going to spend very much time there, but the overarching theme is dealing with righteousness and riches and guarding what you say and making sure that you are prayerful and mindful of the wit and asking God for wisdom to direct you in how you respond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we're moving to the 14th chapter. And this one has to do with patience and prudence. Like a wisdom is to life, a wise woman is to her husband, to her family. And she makes the home a place of refuge and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah, right.
That's,
fixed it. You had to fix it, right? Read that
right.
again.
A wise woman is to her family.
Family.
And she makes the home a place of refuge and strength. And so I really like that whole part about refuge and strength, because, you know, so much happens on a day-to-day basis, and so many spirits are out there that's vying for your attention and our attention. And it's good to come to a place where you can draw strength and where it's a place of refuge, it's a place where you feel you don't have to deal with all of the pressures of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this 14th chapter really talks about how the wise woman really promotes that or introduces that, and it's exhibited in the family.
Amen. Okay.
And so that 14th chapter in the first verse, you mind reading that one?
A wise woman builds her house,
mm-hmm.
but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down.
Okay. So break that out a little bit for us and kind of help us get clarity on that.
But, well, a wise woman maintains and improves her family,
mm-hmm.
and the household.
Okay.
Her idleness, again, this is the flip side of it, her idleness or not using her hands or living a sinful lifestyle results in her house being torn down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what's the takeaway for you in that verse? And I kind of spoke a little bit ahead of myself in terms of it's the family, and of course the husband is incorporated in that. But is there a takeaway for you in that verse, or if not?
Well, the woman being the nurturer in the family, and
mm-hmm.
you know, most of the time the woman, especially in biblical times, did most of the house chores and the cooking and the caring for the family. And, you know, if there's no foundation there, then that house is kind of torn asunder.
Mm-hmm.
That house is not There's no structure there.
Okay.
There's a structure in the physical house, and there's a structure within the house.
Okay.
When processes and procedures and schedules are put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the wise woman does not set those boundaries for her children and for the family, then she's foolish. Her house is not going to stand.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's powerful. Because, like you said, in those days and in that culture, the men were the sole breadwinner, so to speak. They were working, providing, and making sure that they had the necessary means to support and keep, you know, the flow happening in the life of the family. And as a result, the woman, for the most part, was the one who organized and who made sure that everything was flowing properly in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I think even today we have kind of flipped that and we miss the importance and the significance of trying to maintain the house, because the first priority that the children or those who are in the house receive is the word that's being exhibited in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and the example that's being set. And
mm-hmm.
and so often nowadays we have allowed the schools to raise our children, the
TV,
the video,
the music.
That's right, and society.
Yes.
And then when something goes awry, we find ourselves trying to pull back and try to apply those biblical principles that we should have instilled within them from the very outset.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You train up a child in the way they should go in. And when they stray and when they run off from that, they will come back to that training, and they will have that embedded in them. You know, you say this saying about shoots and roots or something. How does that go? You give them
Roots and wings.
Roots and wings.
Shoots and roots.
I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
You give children. God gives us children for, you know, a short window of time. If you think about it, the years between birth and, let's say, 18 years old go by so quickly, you know. And so we have a small window of opportunity in which to give them roots, plant them deep in the Word.
That's good.
Plant them deep in with a good character and morals. And then we have to give them wings, you know, and let them go.
Have to release
yes,
them.
They're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to allow them, if we give them the right or the strong roots, then when we allow them to go and give them wings, will they make mistakes? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But those mistakes won't be of a detriment to them.
Okay.
They should be a teaching moment
That's good.
It should not break them,
mm-hmm.
because they have the moral stability and the Christian character and the Word of God and a prayer life that they should have received from their parent or parents that will carry them through.
That's right. That's right. And it started in the house.
In the house.
And so when by the time they are out there in society and they start seeing other things, and they will, they will have that already rooted in the inside of them.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that was the 13th chapter, and we're moving right through. We're not going verse by verse as we indicated earlier.
We were in 14.
Was that 14?
Yeah, that was 14.
That's
and
right.
One.
That's right.
We gonna go to 14:6.
You can read I think we kind of lifted that up, but there
okay.
are a couple of verses there that if you want to read 14:6, 14:8, and then 14:33, those are the verses that we have in our syllabus to cover. But I think much of what we've already said kind of
covers that.
Those
it
verses.
Does. It
Lift
does.
Up the 33rd verse, and I think it's on the handout there. 14:33.
Okay. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding,
mm-hmm.
but that which is in the midst of fools is made known.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So basically it's talking about patience and prudence, and like wisdom is to life, a wise woman is to her family, and she makes the home a place of refuge and a place of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the final points that were brought out in this 14th chapter of Proverbs, and we see that coming forth even as it closes out with talking about the wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made
made known.
So we have to make sure that we are following the precepts and the mandate that God has laid and set in place.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, so we're moving to chapter 15. And as we indicated earlier, it's good to see all of you who are online tonight. But as we indicated earlier, we are not moving verse by verse through these chapters, but we're trying to cover as much ground as we possibly can in the next 15 minutes before we close out tonight. And we'll have to pick the rest of it up next week. But this 15th chapter of Proverbs, it really kind of talks about how God sees everything. God both sees our sins and he knows our sorrows.
Mm.
And so make no mistake about it, you can't get away from God.
No, you cannot.
And a lot of people think that that's the case, that God doesn't see what's going on. But God sees everything, and God both sees our sins and he knows about our sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So God made himself accessible and available to go through everything that we had to experience so that he would have a clear understanding. And then he would also give us an opportunity to know that he knows and that he understands what we're going through.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So the verse for chapter 15 is the 31st verse.
Okay. Verse 31. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise.
Okay. Whoever heeds life-giving instruction
mm-hmm.
will be what? At home among the wise.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. So wisdom comes as a result of us asking God to give us wisdom. And then it also comes as a result of experience. Would,
mm-hmm.
would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And the Bible says we need to ask for wisdom, but and ask for understanding, you know, because there are going to be times when we might have the wisdom, but we're going to need clarity and we're mm-hmm. going to need understanding in order to push forward and be able to do what God would have us to do.
Amen. That's correct.
Okay.
And you know, the person who does not refuse correction or instruction, it leads to life.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to delighting in it and abiding among the wise, or staying in wise company.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the 16th chapter then, Lady Kim, as we are making our way tonight. And are there any comments that you see coming forward tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good to see Brother Ryan on tonight. Hope all is well with you. The 16th chapter really talks about the conduct of life, when you try to put that in a nutshell. And we hope that you all will read it. And this is a good place for you to drop your bucket and just settle there and just move through the entirety of the book of Proverbs, because there's so much godly wisdom and so much biblical principles that will help us in everyday life. Wouldn't you agree? Practical
Absolutely.
Principles
mm-hmm.
in Proverbs. And so this 16th chapter really kind of talks about the conduct of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the verse that we want to lift up is verse number 16
mm-hmm.
of Proverbs 16. You mind lifting that up for us?
How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver.
Okay. So what is the writer trying to get us to see in that verse? How much better it is to get wisdom than gold? A lot of people want the gold, right?
Yeah.
Some people say, well, if I get the gold, if I get the paper, then the wisdom will come.
Yeah.
But it's much better, the writer says, to get wisdom than gold. and to get understanding rather than to choose the silver.
Yeah.
So what is he trying to get us to see here?
Well, I guess he's trying to get us to see, you know, when he says wisdom is much better than gold because it brings a man more certain and complete and lasting comfort.
Okay.
And the advantage of obtaining and possessing wisdom, when you possess wisdom, you possess Christ. You possess, I'm getting tongue-tied.
Well,
you
are possessing
a real long day.
Yeah.
Christ, and where all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge lie. They lie in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
And so when you get wisdom and the wisdom of Christ, then you have everything. Mm-hmm. It's better than gold.
Okay. And that was a song out similar to
silver
that.
Silver and gold. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. No fame or fortune.
Mm-hmm.
No riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus
than silver and gold.
Silver and gold.
Is that Dr. Holmes in the house?
Dr.
All
Holmes
the way from
in the
Denver.
House.
Good to see you on the call tonight, sir. And so people have reversed that, and they've gone after the gold and the silver. And then many times that has been to their detriment and has destroyed a lot of people because they had no foundation or no wisdom in terms of how to handle that which they have sought after.
Amen. But the scripture is consistent when it says, seek first the kingdom of
That's
God
right.
and his righteousness.
That's good.
And all these other things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to seek after things. See, we get that backwards. We seek after things, and then when things don't go right, then we seek after God.
Mm-hmm.
But the word, the Bible
all right.
says,
say a word,
that
Reverend.
If we seek first the things of God, and his righteousness. See, a lot of us are seeking the things of God, but we're not seeking after righteousness.
That's right. That's right.
We got to seek after both the kingdom of God and
His righteousness.
Then all those other things shall be added unto us. Silver, gold may not be silver or gold, but it may be a bill that's been paid.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, you know, that God supplies, or he's promised to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So that means that our needs will be met. Our needs will be met simply because we know Jesus and he knows us and we're seeking the kingdom of God.
Wow, that's rich there. What there are a couple of comments there, and I think it's just kind of confirming what you've already
yes,
said.
Yes, only what we do for Christ will last.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, silver and gold are temporary. Wisdom and knowledge are forever. Amen. Yes, Dr. Q, you're on it.
Okay.
Does it mean that those financially poor lack complete wisdom?
That's a question.
That's a question.
Does
Brother
it,
Cletus is asking.
He says what?
Does it mean that those financially poor lack complete wisdom? It means they lack wisdom. They lack wisdom in a couple of different ways. Maybe they lack biblical wisdom.
That's right. Godly wisdom.
Godly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be lacking financial wisdom.
That's right. That's
because
right.
God gives us finances, but most of the time we mismanage our finances.
That's right.
And so we need to learn how to manage our finances in order to become rich, you know, in other ways.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And you know, you're absolutely right, Lady Kim, because if you have the finances and you don't apply the proper guidance as it relates to being a good steward, then you end up, that'll be like water going through your hand.
Amen.
But if you apply the biblical wisdom and make sure that that's the foundation for how you are going to, that's where that get wisdom and get understanding comes in.
Amen.
And you get the full understanding of how to use that. And what I was thinking about is a lot of people who win the lottery, and we, you know, those episodes that come on about how people go through millions and millions of dollars over a short period of time.
They're poor again in the next 2 or 3
That's
years.
Right. That's
they don't
right.
have any money. Broke.
That's right. That's right. And the main focus is to try to go after things, but they it's obvious they are displaying a lack of godly wisdom in terms of how they would properly be good stewards over what they have come into.
Amen. And what I was thinking of is we as people, especially African American people, we try to live above our means.
Okay.
We can have a $50,000 a year job that is more than able to sustain us, but with that $50,000 a year job, we're trying to get a $500,000 house so we can look like we're large and in charge. We want to drive a $80,000 car so it looks like we're large and in charge. But that's financial mismanagement.
Well, Lady Kim, $80,000 car now is almost the norm. Most cars are in that price range. You're going to get some cars that's a little bit lower in a range, but that's basically at the rate cars are going now. Because it's just, that's the market. And I understand, we understand exactly what you're saying. Somebody said, yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
But we understand exactly what you're saying. And so I would probably say a $200,000 car. And people are living, we live beneath the norm in terms of what we are bringing in. And we want to boost that to a level to impress people,
mm-hmm.
but our main focus should be to impress God.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
I don't know the exact price range of what the norm is for a car, but it's really kind of
$80,000 is not reasonable, right, dude? It's pushing it.
But
the point is, we want to live above our means.
That's right.
If we learn
right.
to live within our means, that means that you have to write out a budget.
Right.
That means you have to know how much you can afford to spend on a car. I ain't mad at nobody that can afford an $80,000 car. You know, I'm not mad at anybody who can buy a $500,000 house if that's what you can afford. But if you can't afford it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jefferson said it brings on stress and anxiety. It binds us.
That's right.
Right. When
that's
you
right.
live above your means, because you have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to work overtime.
You can't take off.
You can't afford to get sick.
That's
and
right.
that's not how God intended us to
that's
be.
That's right.
And I think I've gotten us off track.
No, that's good. Because, see, the Lord led us there, and that's good teaching, and as you can see from the comments. And so we have to make sure that we're good stewards over the manifold blessing. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to have good things and great things, and God wants us to live a good life.
Amen.
You know, and John again says, "Beloved, above all things, I wish that thou would prosper and be in good health." And so,
even as your soul
prospers, and so we have to make sure that we manage properly that which God has blessed us with, and when we're obedient to what God supplies, then he's going to supply more.
Amen.
Because he knows that we can manage it, and we know how
Absolutely.
To handle it.
Absolutely. Yes. When we manage what God has given us, he gives us much more.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, than to get insight rather than silver.
Mm-hmm.
There's wisdom that's coming through this Bible study on tonight.
That's right.
So if we abide by that wisdom, then, you know, we'll be better off.
There's a couple of comments there.
Somebody says, so glad I got my car before $80,000 became the norm. Amen. I was once told as a child, eat what you need, not overdo it because it's on the table. I like that.
Eat
what you need. You know, just because you sitting at a banquet don't mean you got to eat everything
on the table. Yeah, that's
you
right.
Eat what you need. That's just like the sower planting the seed. Once the harvest come in, you don't eat all the harvest.
That's right. That's
you know, right. you sell some of it. You hold some of that seed so you can plant in another season. A farmer never consumes everything from the harvest.
You're preaching, Reverend.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory to God. You,
I feel
you're
it
writing
tonight.
That down. You're writing that down now because you got a sermon coming up pretty soon.
I know, right?
All right.
You know, I don't remember like I used to.
All right. Somebody, there's another comment there. Did you cover pretty much?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. What did we leave off?
Oh, somebody said, as for me and my house, we will drive whatever has gas in it.
That's good.
I know, right?
So on somebody's page or something where they said they went on a trip and it was to the gas station.
The gas station.
And it cost them, it showed how much. It was $100 and something just to get gas. I mean, this thing is just getting out of control.
Okay, so there's a response to Brother Cletus's question, original question. Sometimes the financial poor may have wisdom but lack initiative.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good. That Dr. Holmes in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they can be financially poor and they, what does he say? Say it again.
But lacks the original question. Sometimes the financial poor may have wisdom but lack initiative.
Okay. And so they don't have the proper guidance or direction in terms of how to manage that which they have been blessed with, right?
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, our time is really getting away from us, Lady Kim, and we are in the 17th chapter, is that right?
Yes.
And so let's do the 17th and the 18th chapter. There are a couple of verses we want to lift out of those, and then we'll close out for tonight.
Okay, and we're at 17:24. That's the verse we're focusing on. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth.
Okay, and that's the 17th chapter.
Uh-huh, 17:24.
Okay, and so that's really talking about the proper conduct and how we have to manage that which God has blessed us with. That's back to what we were talking about here a few minutes ago and getting that understanding in terms of what God requires of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. In that 18th chapter, we're focusing on verse number 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook.
Okay. And so that really kind of emphasizes the power of the tongue. And I think a lot of people don't really understand how powerful that is in terms of what they speak. And I think you said the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that we properly manage our tongues. And here's the other part of that, Lady Kim. We don't necessarily need to believe everything that we hear, but we need to make sure that we don't pass judgment on what we pass judgment too soon on what we hear. But we have to discern God's voice. We have to make sure that we're clear in terms of what God is saying through that. That's why we need to saturate ourselves in prayer and have the godly wisdom that's necessary. Because some people can tell you some things or say some things that if we absorb that without allowing it to go through the filter, we can end up going the wrong way when God is trying to direct us another way.
Amen. That's true. That's true.
And so that's 18, right?
Yes.
Well, let's see what...
19.
Yeah, let's go and see what 19 has to say.
Okay, we're in the 19th chapter and look at the 20th verse.
Okay.
It says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end.
So what is that? Kind of break that out for us so we can...
I believe that means that he's willing to be taught and ruled to be advised and reproved when they are young. They are to be wise before death comes.
Okay.
So
that's the latter end that they're making reference
yes,
to.
Yes, yes, the latter end means that when you get ready to die.
Okay.
Before death comes.
Okay.
So we need to hear counsel and receive instruction that we can be wise later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean, I think we, when we hear counsel and receive instruction, sometimes the counsel that we receive, our life has to catch up with what we've received or what we've heard.
Okay.
But in the end, before we leave this earth, we should have gained enough wisdom that we might be able to counsel someone else.
That's good. That's good. I like that. Okay, and that's the 19th chapter of Proverbs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that pushes us right to where we need to maybe park for the night, and we can pick up 20, and we can review that and then move into Ecclesiastes next week.
Okay.
Because the Proverbs has 31 chapters, and we're highlighting most of these, some picking out some verses to bring clarity and just giving an overview of the chapters that we've covered tonight. But when we start with the 20th chapter,
excuse me,
bless you, it's talking about an observation for our conduct. Mm-hmm. And we want to pick it up there on next week.
Okay.
And then we'll move through the remaining chapters of Proverbs then.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So maybe need to, let me borrow your pencil there and mark where we're going to start for next week. But Lady Kim, you've had a busy week, a busy day today. Tell us a little bit about what happened with you today.
Well, I started my new class, my third residency and my doctoral class,
okay.
My DMed
class.
This is
your third residency?
Third, yes.
Wow.
Starting the third.
Okay.
So, yes, it's going on by. I have six. So, this is third. So, I'm
you're halfway there.
Starting my halfway point.
Okay. And I know you had a lot of I guess it was not so much anxiety, but a lot of question marks about what this week was going to bring. And usually that first day of the class, even as we prayed this morning before you left out, like a little child getting ready to go to school for the first day.
With my book bag on my arm.
What should I take my books? All my books or leave them in the car? But how did that go?
It went very well.
A lot of those questions that you had.
I got over those first day jitters, just like the kindergarten and the first day of school. I got over all the jitters, and it was a wonderful experience. And I gained a lot of mm-hmm. information today. Information overload is always on the plate, but yes, it was a good day,
okay.
And I appreciate it. Dr. Martha Simmons did a fantastic job.
Okay. So it broke away a lot of that fog that you had in reservation that may have been there.
And I got a lot of confirmation, too, that, you know, the papers that I had written, I was on the right track. And a mm-hmm. lot of my cohort, you know, they were on the wrong track.
Wow.
So I felt a little more confident, and I could poke my chest out
a little bit
because I felt good that I was on the right track.
Dr. Crystal, our regional minister, says congratulations on starting your halfway
marker. Yeah.
So you're halfway there at the end of this week.
Yeah.
You'll be halfway there, right?
Yeah.
Does that give you a little bit better settledness in your spirit? No.
No. Still have that dissertation, sir.
I know, right?
That's the big piece, the dissertation.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Brother Cletus is asking for prayers for his successful completion of his PhD.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're getting those corrections.
I know, right?
All right.
Edits
yes.
and all of that.
Yes.
Any other prayer requests or any other things that we need to lift up as we prepare to close out tonight? Anything we need to be aware of as we move forward?
Well, pray for our upcoming new members class this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. So all of our new members, we're looking for you Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. We have not had a new members class since the pandemic.
That's right.
So this will be our very first one. We are excited.
Mm-hmm.
So new members class this Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m.
Lunch and learn, right?
Lunch and learn.
Okay.
So if you haven't signed up or contacted the church, please do so we can have an accurate lunch count.
Okay.
And then we, of course, look forward to this coming Sunday. We know it's going to be a powerful time in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lift up all those that are on our sick and shut-in list. We have an email list of those who are sick and shut-in. The reservation for your seat there for the lunch and learn is there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You can reserve your spot. Brother Jefferson is asking prayers for Marcus Muse and his new career.
Okay.
We're asking prayers for Sister Hallie Barge, Sister Aaron's daughter, and the loss of her grandmother. Mm-hmm. Those funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. So we want to lift up the Barge and Jethro families in our prayers.
And then our Leadership Institute starts this week.
Leadership Institute begins on this Thursday at 6 o'clock. So you should have received those who have signed up. You should have your link and also your materials. And if you don't, then you'll get them on this coming Sunday. Is that correct?
Right. And there might be some online who would like to be a part of that, and it's not too late to sign up. If you are interested in being a part of our Leadership Institute, this is basically for our leaders who are already in place, and then it's also available for those who are searching and seeking ways in which they can acknowledge their call or feel the Lord leading them to be a part of some form of leadership in the life of the church. This is really going to be a blessing to you, and it would give clarity and help you get some information that will help you define whether or not that's for you. Dr. Qualise, she's saying that
the link will go out tonight.
Okay.
For those who have signed up.
Okay, and so if there are those who want to sign up, or is there an email that they need to reply to that will help them? Is that it right there?
They have the information on the screen. Yes.
Okay, all right. And so we praise God for that, and we're looking forward to that. We're excited. We have probably about 27 or 28 people who have already signed up for the Institute, Leadership Institute 2.0. And the first session, the first module will be dealing with leadership. And so we're looking forward to that. So if you want to be a part of that and before Thursday, please, by all means, we have 29 who have registered and who accounted for. Make sure that you you can call the church office tomorrow, 795-9677, or you can email me at ptlm@aol.com, and we'll make sure that we get that information to where it needs to go. All right?
Amen.
Brother Steve, good to see you tonight. Well, I don't see you, but good to see you on the call tonight. And there's the number there for our Institute for Leadership Training. This is 2.0, so we're kicking it up a notch, and we're excited about God propelling us to higher heights as we move through this process together. All right. Well, Lady Kim, you ready to close us out in prayer?
Yes, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We thank you for the Bible study on tonight, God. We ask, God, that you would continue, oh God, to just bless all of our sick and shut in, God. You know who they are. You know them name by name because you made and you created them. So we speak healing to them right now. We lift up Sister Haley and the Barge and Jethro family as she mourns the loss of that grandmother. We ask, oh God, that you would just put your loving arms around her, God, and comfort them as they go through this time. We pray for Brother Marcus, oh God, and his new career opportunity, God. We ask, oh God, that you would just let him flourish in the place that you have called him to be. God, we pray for Brother Cletus in the completion of that PhD program, God. Give him the strength, oh God, the knowledge and the wisdom that he needs. Encourage his heart right now, God, and let him know that everything is going to be all right.
Thank you, God.
Because he's going to endure. You said, oh God, that you will make the crooked places straight, God. So we thank you for straightening out. We know Brother Cletus has climbed some hills, oh God. But we know he's coming down on the other side of the mountain, God.
Yes, God.
So no more struggle. It is done in the name of Jesus. We pray for the Leadership Institute that's coming up, God, this coming Thursday. We ask that your presence be felt in a mighty and powerful way. We thank you for our new members class that will take place this Saturday, God. We ask that you will continue to pour into our new members, pour into our church, because you said that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we pray that you send more laborers into your vineyard, oh God, because we have a mighty work that we want to do on your behalf. So we thank you, oh God. We ask that you would bless our pastor, God, that you would bless our church family, God,
yes, God.
That
yes,
you would
God.
Bless our community, God, that you would bless our nation, God. We continue to ask, oh God, that you would look upon our nation and turn the tides of our economy, God. Bring gas prices down.
Thank
bring
you,
rent and
you,
mortgage prices
Hallelujah.
Down. Bring the economy under control. We know you can do it, God, because you can do anything but fail. So we thank you, God. We love you. We bless you. We pray, oh God, for Sister Wanda and Brother Donald Claiborne, God.
Yes, God. Yes,
we
God.
Ask that you would touch and heal them right now,
right
God,
now.
In the name of
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
And we thank you, God, that you provide for us and that you watch over and that you keep us. We love you, we bless you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, we certainly praise God for each of you and thank you for being a part of this study. And we look forward to what God is going to do throughout this week as we move forward, and looking forward to a grand time on Sunday, and continue to pray that all of us will be obedient to what God requires of us. Amen.
Amen. See y'all on Sunday. You all come to worship. Amen. Come on out to worship 9:45 on Sunday. Love you guys. See y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.